looking through this psalm throughout the week, and as we have a couple moments together, I would like to read through the psalm and see how this prayer of praise to God is really a call to God's people to encourage the nations to sing and rejoice, but not just to sing and rejoice for what their culture may call them to sing and rejoice about, but to sing and rejoice with the truth of God and a relationship with Him through faith in their hearts. This morning, as we come to Psalm 96, we are going to see what God's Word has to say about God's desire for the nations. And as we think of gospel advancement, and we think of how God has called us as His church to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, He uses music. He wants us to be singing a new song of praise to Him with our lives, not just with our words, but in the way that we live. I'd like to read through the psalm. It's 13 verses, and then we will begin walking through this together and looking how God has called every Christian to share His message of good news. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Let's have a word of prayer before we walk through this psalm together. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your grace. Thank You for Your glory. Thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to come to this earth so that we could believe in Him. We could be forgiven for our sin. We could believe in what He accomplished for us on the cross as He died to pay the penalty for our sin, a penalty we could never hope to pay. And yet through the shedding of His precious blood, He paid fully the price due our sin. Thank You that He rose from the grave through Your power, and thank You that for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, we can be saved forever through faith in Him. I pray this morning, as we look through this passage of Scripture, You would encourage us as Your church to go and share the truth of Your glory with the nations. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This psalm, for a little quick background, is actually quoted or initially sung, much of it, in 1 Chronicles 16. So we're not going to go there for sake of time, but if you wanted to jot that reference down, King David, as he was dedicating the tabernacle, as he moved the Ark of the Covenant from where it was in another place over in Shiloh over to Jerusalem, where it would remain even after the temple was built, there was a psalm of praise that the people sang to God, and this was part of that song. But there's one unique thing about Psalm 96. Look how it begins. It says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song." That phrase, a new song, is not included. Much of this psalm is, but this one is not. And this psalm is distinct from that one because there is a newness to the believer in God to be able to sing. There's been a change in the heart of someone who believes in God and follows His word, who before was going far away from God. And so this morning, as we walk through this psalm has been called a missionary hymn for all ages. gospel advancement, as we think of the gospel, we've looked at a blueprint for what is a church, and we've looked at God's blueprint for Open Door Bible Church or any local church, or even for our own Christian lives, and we live for the glory of God, and we've been looking how God's word is the foundation for how we worship him. Another major component of the glory of God and how we live for him is gospel advancement. And as we advance the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must have our singing, our theology, the way that we live for the glory of God based upon his word and worshiping him his way. And worship, when it's done correctly before God, it results in discipleship and gospel advancement. We learn how to love God and love others. And by his grace, we go and tell others how they can know this great God who loves them and who has created them for his glory. As we come to God's word briefly this morning, the big idea I would encourage us to walk away with is this. God calls every Christian to joyfully share the truth of his glory with the nations. All of us are called to missions, where God has us, or as we surrender our lives to him, he may lead us to France. He may lead us to other parts of this world, but every Christian is called to joyfully share the truth of God's glory with the nations. As we come to Psalm 96 this morning, we see that Psalm 96 is going to call us, as we are on this side of the cross of Christ, Psalm 96 calls us as Christians to share God's glory with the nations in four specific ways. I'm just going to show you where we're going with this. We're going to walk briefly through this. But in the first two verses, we see that there is a call for God's people to sing praise to God for his salvation among the nations. And then it goes on in verses 3 through 6, we are called to declare God's awesome and exclusive glory among the nations. We are also called in verses 7 through 9 to urge the nations to worship and fear God his way. Not the way of the world, not the way of culture, but what does God say? How we are called to worship him and fear him with our lives, because that is where wisdom is found. And then lastly, we see this psalm close with urging the nations. It's a call to the nations to joyfully anticipate and welcome God's coming as the judge of the earth, to be ready to receive him joyfully, to not be receiving him as the condemning judge because they did not repent of their sin. So we're briefly going to walk through these. So first of all, we see in verses 1 and 2 that we, as God's people, are called, as we go and share his glory with the nations, we are called to sing praise to God for his salvation as among the nations as we go. This is our message. If you look in verse 1 again, it says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song." Verse 2, "Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day." In verses 1 and 2, we see the word "sing" given three times. Sing, sing, sing. And as you sing, tell of his salvation, verse 3. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Bless his name. One of the best ways that we show the light of God's truth as Christians is when we praise the Lord together as his church, and as we praise the Lord individually in song. And even in verse 1 and 2, we can see a small template or a paradigm for what kind of songs God's people should sing and meditate on, what should be included in our hymns of praise to God, and that what our hymns should focus on as we praise God through singing, blessing his name, telling of his salvation from day to day. One of my favorite hymns that Ron Hamilton wrote, and maybe you can't read the words, I'm going to read it. It talks about Calvary's blood and what Christ has done for us on the cross. Here's an example of a hymn, like many others, that encourage us to praise God. "I carried a burden, a staggering weight, and struggled for freedom but could not escape. I trembled and cried at the thought of my fate. What must I do to be saved? I desperately searched for release from my pain but found that man's wisdom was useless and vain. Is there not a power that can break every chain? What must I do to be saved?" I hope that's a question that you asked one time and heard an answer to. If you're here this morning, you don't have an answer to that. God loves you. As we go through God's word, we'll see that answer. The next verse goes, "I saw Jesus bleeding. The cross bore his stain. The men standing by were all mocking his pain. But then, yes, I heard it. He called out my name, kneel at the cross and be saved. I fell at the feet of the one hanging there. Oh, Savior, forgive me, I cried in despair. My burden fell off. Jesus answered my prayer, kneel at the cross and be saved. Jesus' blood flows from Calvary, breaking Satan's power, setting captives free. Greatest gift of the greatest love. Heaven paid the price with Calvary's blood. Heaven paid the price with Calvary's blood. As we go and sing praise, we live our lives, we are telling people there is hope. As God's people, we go, and in our lives, we sing a song of praise, rejoicing in Christ's blood and his shed blood, his resurrection from the grave, that we can be freed from sin's power, and so can those, all with their faith and trust in him. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 8, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Sing Romans 5, 6 through 8 in the way that we live. God shows his love right now for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Do you see the theme? His love, his love, his glory. He didn't have to do this, but that's just who our God is. It's a God of grace and mercy. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. My favorite hymns is And Can It Be by Charles Wesley. One verse says, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me? For him? Or who him to death pursued? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me? God calls us to go and to sing praise to him for his salvation among the nations. I pray that we're doing that throughout our day-to-day lives as Christians. God calls every Christian to joyfully share the truth of his glory with the nations. We see also in verses 3 through 6, as we go to share the good news of God with the nations around us, we are called to declare. What are we to say? How can people know who God is? We are called to declare, to speak about God's awesome and exclusive glory among the nations. You look at verse 3, it says, declare his glory among the nations. Well, what glory? His marvelous works among the peoples. Tell the world what God has done and what he is doing. Take them to God's word. Show them how he has shown his glory and his power throughout history. Verse 4 says, for great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Verse 5 says, for all the gods of the peoples. That word peoples, it says they're worthless idols, they're gods. The peoples here is the idea of people groups. Nations and how many nations are in this world tend to change throughout history, but right now there are roughly just under 200 nations in the world. But people groups, there are over 17,000 people groups in this world. And as Charity was sharing, a people group is someone who has their own culture, their own language, their own cultural norms, the way they live their life. And in America, we have a melting pot of people groups, but they're all over the world. Most estimates today by Christian groups will say there's about 7,400 unreached people groups who've never heard about the gospel of Christ. We have work to do as the church, and God calls us to declare his awesome and exclusive glory among the nations. Another song that I have appreciated is and came in contact with recently reminded me was one called So High the Price. This is another song that sings high of God's grace. It says, Lord of glory, reigning in his majesty, ruling long before the worlds were formed, yet when darkness claimed his own, he stepped from heaven's throne to bear a cross and wear a crown of thorns. Son of God, so willingly he took our place, clothed in robes of frail humanity, fragile flesh and blood, priceless crimson blood, offered up for sin at Calvary. Buried like a beggar in a borrowed tomb, everything for nothing, so it seemed, but death could never stand against the nail-scarred hands and power of heaven's resurrected king. So high the price he paid. The nails, the cross, the grave, such pardon he bestowed, such grace he showed. No greater sacrifice, he gave his very life, so deep the love, so high the price. I appreciate those beautiful words, but I think there's even more beautiful words as we look to God's word. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 4, we were here a couple Sunday nights ago, and even if our gospel is veiled as Christians, sometimes, how many of you have shared the gospel with someone, and it's like you're talking to a blank wall? There are times, many times that happens, and the Apostle Paul tells us why that is. Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the god of this world, speaking of Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here Paul goes back to creation. On day one, when God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The Creator God, as Psalm 96, verse 5 says, He created the heavens. The gods of this world are idols. They can't do anything. They are nothing. But our God in heaven, He created the heavens. The one who said, "Let there be light," has also spoken to our hearts as Christians that we may know the light of the knowledge of the glory of God through Jesus Christ. We think of idols, and this world is consumed with idols. Our country is consumed with idols. Of anything that is higher than God in our hearts and minds is an idol. One commentator, in thinking of Psalm 96, verse 5, says, "That which is nothing," which are idols, "can make nothing. How far superior is Jehovah God, who made the heavens out of nothing?" This pastor goes on to say, but we have this treasure. We have this treasure. What's this treasure? This treasure is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in jars of clay. We are but frail vessels. Why? To show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are called to declare God's awesome glory, and we are to treasure Him and to share this message of the gospel that He's given us. John Piper has a quote, maybe you've heard this, as he was preaching to his church, one of his last messages to his church, as he preached on missions. He said, "Worship is the goal and the fuel of missions. Missions is what we mean by telling people about the good news of Jesus, missionaries going and telling. Missions exists because worship doesn't." And what he means here is proper, true worship of God. Why do missionaries go? Why does God call us to go? Because worship of God does not exist around this world as it ought. Seeking the worship of the nations is fueled, Piper will say, by the joy of our own worship. You can't commend what you don't cherish. You can't proclaim what you don't prize. Worship is the fuel and the goal of missions. It's not about us. Paul says, we're not speaking ourselves. We're telling people about Jesus. Charles Spurgeon, in a generations before, sorry, this is too small, I put it in your bulletin, but he said, "Whatever is your greatest joy and treasure, that is your God." Whatever we treasure the most, that is our God. What is your greatest joy and treasure this morning? Think about this past week. What did you meditate on the most? Now, we have jobs, we have things we have to do, or those are retired, we have all different things that we're involved in, but what did you treasure the most in your mind, in your actions, in your thoughts, and your emotions this past week? If it's anything other than Christ, then that has become a god to us. We have to be careful. One of the greatest things, the most wonderful thing we should treasure is Jesus Christ. Don't settle for lesser things than Jesus and His glory and telling others about Him. Romans 1, 16 through 17, Paul had the right perspective. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Why? "For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, in this gospel message, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'The righteous shall live by faith.'" This is the awesome glory of God, the awesome power we're called to tell the nations about. to declare his awesome power, but also it's an exclusive glory of God. John 14, 1 through 5, we see that Jesus here is preparing his disciples for his departure. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there may you be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Well, Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." We need to go and tell people that no matter what their witch doctors may say, no matter what their earthly philosophers may say, no matter what they think in their minds, they must know God's truth. And Jesus is the only way to receive eternal life. Faith in Jesus Christ. We have an exclusive message to share. It's an awesome message, but an exclusive one. Peter, when he was preaching in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he said, "There is salvation and no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." God calls us as his church to declare God's awesome and exclusive glory among the nations. We'll quickly go through these next two because I know time is moving from us. But remember, God calls every Christian to joyfully share the truth of his glory with the nations. When Psalm 96 was given, America didn't exist, but the land was here. God had a desire for his glory to reach even the Americas. We are among the nations. God calls every one of us to share his glory as Christians with them. Thirdly, we see in verses 7 through 9 that we are called to urge the nations to worship and fear God his way. It's an exclusive glory that we're calling them to follow. If you look at verse 7 very quickly, it says ascribe. What does it mean to ascribe something? It means to give credit to that person. Ascribe to them. Give credit to God for who he is. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. It calls to all the family groups, all the people groups of the world. Give God the glory and strength that are due him. Verse 8, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. And it calls them to live and worship to him. Bring offerings to him, not to your idols, but to him. Worship in his courts. Worship the Lord, verse 9, in the splendor of holiness and tremble. Fear him. Be in awe of who he is. Romans 3 continues this reality. It tells us this is why we need to tremble before the Lord. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We have missed the mark. But through Christ, we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We have missed the mark. All of us have sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. But through Christ, we can be saved from sin's penalty. And there is a penalty. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The terrible and fully deserved paycheck of sin is death. Eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. But the tremendous, free, undeserved gift of God is eternal life through faith in Christ Jesus. That is something we should rejoice in. That is something we must go and tell others about so that they do not have to be led to eternal death. We serve and obey Christ as our Lord. It says in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Romans 10, 9 through 11 says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, he's master, he's in control, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, doesn't matter our nationality, our ethnicity. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." But here we go about us going. How are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they've never heard? How are they to hear without someone preaching, or we could say as Psalm 96, declaring to them? And how are they to preach or declare unless they are sent? Well, there's a good answer to that because Jesus has sent us. He has called every Christian to go and joyfully share his glory among the nations. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's about to ascend to heaven. Jesus came and said to his disciples, "All authority in heaven and on earth," just like Psalm 96 says, "in the heavens and the earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." There's two commands in this Great Commission. We call it Great Commission. Two commands: go and make. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them or discipling them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, you're not alone. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. We are called to go, to declare, to urge the nations to worship and fear God his way. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus made it clear too, these last words that we have on Christ, and he was on earth before he ascended to heaven. When they had come together, they're here at the Mount of Olives, they asked Jesus, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. Yet kingdom is coming, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses." That word witness in the original language here of Greek, it was the word martyr. "You will be my martyrs." It's a judicial term. Now, many times we think of a martyr as someone who dies for Christ. But all of us are called to literally be martyrs, to be witnesses. It was a judicial term, to witness, to testify what is true. And where are we to do this? Well, he said, in your own home, in Jerusalem. And as God works and the gospel spreads in your home, go out that to the next county, if we think of it that way, in Judea. And go to your state, go to Samaria, go to the end of the earth. God calls us to urge the nations to worship and fear God his way. Every Christian is to joyfully share the truth of his glory with the nations. And lastly, as we close, God calls us to urge the nations, as we come back to Psalm 96, to urge the nations to joyfully welcome, to anticipate God's coming. He's coming back. Jesus is returning. As he comes, he will come as the judge of the earth. This is a comfort to God's people, but it's not a comfort to those who are his enemies. And the call for us is to urge people to come, because when Jesus returns the second time, he will come not as the lamb, but as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And all those people who did not believe in his name will be punished eternally. But all those who have believed on him, who have been caught together with the Lord, will return with the Lord. And those who have heard the gospel since the rapture will rejoice in his new kingdom. And he will judge with equity. We hear that word equity a lot today, don't we? It's almost become a very political word over the years. But equity here, when we look at Psalm 96, it says he will judge the peoples with equity, verse 10. It means that Christ, as he comes, will judge with evenness, on the level. It will be a straightness, no areas of inconsistency or corruption, perfection of justice and rule. Aren't you looking forward to that day? Oh, I can't wait till all corruption is vanquished. Philippians 2, verses 5 through 7 says, "Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that we're called to bless, the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." At the end of Psalm 96, we see all creation, the heavens, the earth, the sea, the creatures of earth, the trees, the field, rejoicing and singing to God. One day we're going to hear animals sing. I wonder if they're going to be on tune. I think they will be. But all creation will sing. Why? Because the judge of the earth will come and all will be right as it should be. This is what we want to tell the people of the world, how they can rejoice at that day rather than tremble in condemnation at that day. As we close this morning, and I appreciate your attention this morning, three words, quick words of application, as we realize that God has called every Christian to joyfully share the truth of his glory with the nations. First, worship God. Worship God by repenting of your sin, believing in the truth of his gospel message, and trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. I pray that you have done that. If you have not, then if you were to die today, you will not be with the Lord, but you will be in a very real place called hell. We desire no one to go there. Because one day, those in hell will be taken out of hell and they'll be thrown into the lake of fire forever. Literally out of the frying pan into the fire. No, worship God by repenting of your sin today. I appreciate how Charity said when she was 9, she thought, well, I'll have plenty of time, but thank God that he worked in her heart. Don't say today, well, I have plenty of time. Our life is but a vapor. No, believe in Christ today if you haven't. And if you're a Christian, worship him. Be trusting in him alone for salvation. Secondly, worship God if you are a Christian. Worship God by joyfully sharing the truth of his glory wherever God has you. That begins at home, that begins here at Open Door Bible Church, that continues whether you're at work or at school, at Walmart, in Middletown, here in Pennsylvania, in our country, in North America, the world, perhaps France, if God would call you there. But God is calling you, Christian, to share his good news with the nations. Joyfully share his truth wherever God has you. And third, pray. Pray that God would send out more workers to glean souls in his great harvest field for his glory. I was talking with Ben Carvel about that this week, and it's such a prayer that we are called. Christ says in Matthew 9:36, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Oh, look around us today. Our world is lost, is scrambling, is looking all over for hope somewhere, but on all the wrong places. And what does Christ say? He said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers, the workers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. We're going to be praying for Charity, that God would send her to France in his perfect way. But pray for us as well. Pray for one another that God will use us and send out even more people into his harvest field. God calls every Christian to joyfully share the truth of his glory with the nations. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace. Thank you, if we are in Christ, that you have opened our eyes to see the beauty of Jesus. You have worked in our hearts to give us a treasure that is greater than any other, this treasure of eternal life in your gospel. God, would you use us to share the gospel? Help us to be faithful in loving and serving you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.